Well, we're continuing our journey through Mark chapter 10, and our passage today is verses 13 through 16. It says this, "And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, 'Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And he took them in his arms, and he blessed them, laying his hands on them." Father, thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is living and active, and it has effect upon our lives to shape us as your people. We pray this morning and today as we sit under the authority of your word that you would teach us, convict us, encourage us, strengthen us, and empower us as your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are not many other things in life that reveal the state of our hearts like children do. And more specifically, how we as adults respond to children in particular instances. And no matter how peaceful or loving or righteous or comfortable and at rest we may feel we are or may be at times, there are those certain moments where the right child at the right time doing the right thing, and by right I mean not necessarily right, with their voice at just the right pitch and decibel level, completely demolishes all peace, all righteousness, all holiness, all serenity that we once had, right? There's just those moments. And the way that we view and respond to children reveals a lot about our hearts. It really does expose what's inside at times. In our passage today, we see these parents were bringing these children to Jesus, that he would touch them and bless them. And that's not a foreign thing. It is, in fact, a very common thing in this day and beyond. But it was common for parents to bring their children to the rabbis or the priests to be blessed and prayed for. So this is a common thing. We see it even today. I don't know if you guys have ever seen those pictures where the Pope is surrounded by a bunch of people and he's kissing babies. Or maybe there's that politician photo, you know, where the politician's on the campaign trail and they're holding up the baby on the stage, smiling and kissing the baby. Now, there's something about people in power or with prestige and authority that we want to bring our children to and have them bless them. It's just kind of a common thing throughout history. So I say all of that to say that this was not foreign. This was common in this day. And so it wasn't something that just completely happened out of the blue that caught Jesus and his disciples off guard. So this was something that was kind of normal. But in this particular instance, Mark tells us that the disciples, instead of allowing the children to be brought to Jesus, were actually acting like the Secret Service police, kind of protecting Jesus, guarding him from the mob of people and telling the people, not just telling them no, but rebuking them, telling them to get back, to go away, no blessing for you. And he doesn't tell us why exactly the disciples were doing this, but it can be inferred that to some degree they were looking out for Jesus. They cared for Jesus. They felt that they needed to protect him. Maybe they thought that it was too much for him. Maybe they thought he was just tired and needed a break. Or maybe they thought he had more important things to do in life than to entertain these children. So here's what we know about Jesus at this time. He was on his way to the cross, right? We've been journeying through the book of Mark, and it's kind of been the story, the journey to the cross, and it's getting closer. The cross is beginning to loom on the horizon. He's already spoke it out two times. He's foretold his death two times already. We're going to see he's going to do it again here in a little bit in chapter 10. And then shortly after chapter 10 here, it says he enters into Jerusalem. So the mission and the purpose of Jesus to get to the cross is getting closer and closer. So So for whatever reason, the disciples thought in this moment that the last thing Jesus needed right now was for children to be hanging all over him, for him to have to be praying for them or blessing them or touching them. So they step in and they keep it from happening. And I don't know if you parents have ever experienced this. You parents, when your children are around your parents or their grandparents. See, I found myself doing this from time to time. With my parents are great parents. Great grandparents, not great grandparents. They're really good grandparents. So I found myself, even though I know that they love my children and they love having them around, there's those moments where my children are climbing on top of their heads and sticking their fingers in their eyes and they're grabbing my dad's cap and pulling it off his head 1,800 times and just keep messing and this elbow gets stuck in this place and that, and they're just all over them, right? And in, outside looking in, I just can feel a tension. I'm like, I need to protect my parents from this. I need to step in. And so I want to get in and say, hey, all right, it's time to get off. Y'all need to give a break. I try to be a buffer between my parents and my children. And I kind of can see the disciples doing this in this moment. And I love my kids and I love my parents, but I want to protect them from this onslaught of children, right? And most of the time, when I try to do this, my parents, their response is the same as Jesus's. Don't hinder them from coming to us. Right? We'll speak up if we've had enough. But when they look at me and like, no, let them, they're fine. I can take another finger in the eyeball. It's no big deal. See, even though the mission and the movement towards the cross grew closer and closer, Jesus still took time to interact with and bless children. He still invited them to come to him. And what we may see is interruptions in nuisances or hassles to the purposes and missions of our lives, Jesus actually sees as opportunities to bless, to love, and to teach about the kingdom of God. See, we adults, we can have a tendency at times to view other things or other people as more important than our children. And I know to the credit of the children, to kids, they do have a tendency to climb up into our space, our personal space, irrespective of who we're talking to or what we're doing. They do that, yes. And I do believe that there are times that we need to... Where'd my page go? Found it. There are times that we need to teach them to respect and honor their parents. However, throughout history, and especially in Jesus' day in this culture, children haven't been viewed as the... in high regard, as the high people in society, right? They're usually looked down upon. They're seen as lower class citizens, the ones that just need to go away somewhere else so the adults could get their important adulting done. So newsflash, caring for children is part of adulting, okay? And more than that, it's actually part of being a disciple. And beyond just caring for children being a part of being a disciple of Jesus, caring for the low-class citizens of society is actually part of being a disciple of Jesus. And in this particular instance in our passage today, it's children. See, even with the importance of being the most magnetic, controversial, polarizing, and talked about man of power in his day, at this moment in time, like everybody's talking about Jesus. Everywhere he went, there were crowds. Like this, he was a polarizing figure. He still made time for the lowest of the low and the less important people in life. He still invited them to himself. So which caused me to really stop for a moment and ask myself the question, how do the seemingly unimportant people, and more specifically my own children, fit into my important life? How do the seemingly unimportant people in my life fit into my important life? See, it's not just about making time for less important things. It's in the midst of looming tensions that we see this really coming out. Like those serious things, those kind of life and death things, right? Like the cross was looming. That's a life and death matter. That's serious tension that was weighing on Jesus' mind, knowing that that was coming. So how do we respond to these, again, seemingly lesser important people in our lives when we're tired, when we're stressed, when we're faced with the looming tensions of life? Do we take the time in the midst of these looming tensions to embrace, to smile, to play with, to enjoy, to bless our children, lower class citizens of society, those that are just longing for a touch, an acknowledgement, or a hug? Do we allow for the less important things to interrupt our important lives? And I have to confess to you guys today, I have struggled with this abundantly lately. In the midst of all the tensions of life going on right now, the changes going on in Sarah and I's lives, I've found myself not making as much time for my children. Actually, hardly any time at all. And not just not making time for them, viewing them as burdens and interruptions to the more important things of my life. And that's not only unkind to them, it's unfair to them. It doesn't represent the love and compassion that Jesus truly has for them. In a sense, it's hindering them from coming to Jesus. And what I mean by that is it's hindering them from experiencing the goodness and the love and the blessing of Jesus through me, through my interactions with them. I heard John Piper once say that sitting down on the floor and playing with your children is a holy moment. It's a moment for them to experience the love of God through your life. And I thought about that. It's actually fitting with the incarnation, with God taking on flesh, God coming down to our level to meet us in that space. That's holy. There's a holy God coming and being with us. So when we take our time to engage our children, we lower ourselves to their level. It's an example of the incarnation. It's holiness. And I will tell you, I have been extremely unholy lately. So unlike Jesus in so many ways. But I do know from this passage today that there is so much grace for me. There's so much grace for us. Even in the midst of Jesus' anger, it says he was indignant, right? He was angry with the disciples for hindering the kids from coming to him. Even in the midst of his anger, these words that he speaks to them display so much grace and gives them a chance to humble themselves and come back and repent and come back to him. Look, he says, "Let the children come to me. Don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. And truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child, shall not enter it." There is such beauty and grace in this rebuke and in this invitation to the disciples and to the children. And there's three things I want to kind of focus on this morning that we can draw from this interaction, this short, brief interaction here. The first thing I want to say is to the kids. So there's no kids in here this morning. This will be the moment like in the big Baptist church where all the kids come up and they sit up front. You know, we just teach the kids. So at home, wherever you are, kids, if you want to gather around and pay attention here, this is for you. I want to say this to you children. You are important to God. You're important to Jesus. You have value and you have purpose. Jesus loves you. He cares for you. And he's inviting you to himself. To come to him, to be touched by him, and to be blessed by him. The love of God that's encompassed in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus is not just for us adults, it's for you children. It's for you kids. Children, you're very significant in the kingdom of God. And they always have been. Look at Psalm 8, verse 2. Came across this verse and studying this out this week. And it says, "Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." The NIV interprets it this way. It says, "Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies." Through the praise of children, a stronghold to silence the foe. Are you kidding me? Kids, did you hear that? Not only are you important to Jesus, your praise of Jesus has the power to silence the enemies of God. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, God brings forth praise to silence his enemies. That's pretty significant. Check out Matthew 21. There's a story in Matthew 21 where Jesus actually quotes this verse. He's in the temple, and it says they were bringing blind and lame people to him in the temple, and he was healing them. But when the chief priests and the scribes, all these religious people over here, saw, listen, the wonderful things that Jesus did, and then they heard the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David." The children were praising God. The children crying out to God because of the wonderful things God was doing. The religious people said they were indignant. There's that word that we just read that Jesus was. They were indignant, mad, and they said to Jesus, "Do you hear what they're saying? Do you hear the children praising God?" And Jesus says to them, which I love, Jesus, he's so great, "Have you not read," right, to the most studied and learned religious folks out there, "have you not read Psalm 8, verse 2? Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise." It's crazy. This is kind of a side note. What makes Jesus mad? When we hinder people from coming to him. What makes religious people mad? When God gets the glory and praise he deserves from lower class citizens who are dependent, needy, and not as prestigious as them. Kids, you're important to Jesus. And when you worship and when you praise God, your voice is powerful against the enemies of God. No matter what your age is, no matter what other people, adults, may say, when you see wonderful things of God, when you see Jesus doing amazing things, give God the glory he deserves and the praise he deserves. And when you do that, it will silence the enemies and it will actually teach us adults a thing or two about how to respond in situations like that. So I encourage you, kids, do not hold back your praise to God. So this is why we lean heavily here on family discipleship and family worship at Christ Church. It's why we don't just kick our children out to some other part of the building, if we were actually in a building, to get our good adult time only, our adult only time with Jesus. See, we want our children to experience Jesus just as we're experiencing Jesus in worship. They need him just as much as we do. Look at Acts 2, 38 and 39. It says, "As Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, to whom God would call to himself." Salvation and the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God in Christ, is for us, it's for our children, it's for all who God would call to himself. Let them come to me, is what Jesus says. That's his call. No matter the age, the stature, the class, the culture, the race, the language, the gender, the gospel is for all who God would call to himself in Christ. Which leads me to the second thing I want to draw our attention to this morning. Not only is Jesus inviting children to come to him, he's inviting us adults, us parents, to not hinder the children from going to Jesus. And maybe a little bit more than that, maybe I'm pulling a little bit more than I should out of this, but I don't think it's just don't hinder them. I think, hey, let's be proactive in taking them to Jesus. It's our responsibility as parents and adults to bring our children to Jesus, to teach them, to pray for them, to show them grace and mercy and forgiveness and love. They're never too young to experience the love and embrace of Jesus. So how are we to do this? By prayer? Yeah. Pray for them. By worshiping God with them through song? Yes. By having conversations around and about God, the things of God and the things of Jesus? Yes. By inviting them to participate with us in the way we are loving others and living for God and following Jesus? And ultimately, by reading the Word of God to them and with them so that they would come to know the God of the Word. We read the Bible to our children and with our children. We encourage them to read the Scriptures themselves because it's in the Scriptures, it's in the Bible that they see and know Jesus. The Jesus that's calling them to Himself. Not the Jesus of our culture. Not the Jesus of the latest theological argument, but the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of the Scriptures, the Jesus that says is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That as we read the Bible to our children, as we teach them the Word of God, and we pray the Word of God over them, and we share the Word of God with them, they're able to hear and see and come to know Jesus and their own need for Jesus. And He does His great work in their lives. 2 Timothy 3, but as for you, this is what Paul says to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Don't forget who you learned this from, Timothy, and how from childhood, when you were that wee little one, right, the child, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Continue in your understanding what you learned as a child that you know about Scriptures. So where did he learn these things? How was he acquainted with the Scriptures at such a young age? 2 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith and a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you. So you have a grandmother teaching her daughter the Scriptures. And the faith of God. And then you have a mom teaching her son, Timothy, the Scriptures and faith in God. Parents and adults, we are to bring our children to Jesus by showing them and teaching them the Jesus of the Word of God. Because they are important to God. And the last thing I want to bring out and point out this morning is this lesson that Jesus uses these kids to teach us. The kids, this really is not ultimately about the children. This is ultimately about Jesus and the kingdom of God. And he uses children as an example, as a representation of how all of us are to experience and come into the kingdom. He says, for such belongs the kingdom of God. It doesn't mean the kingdom just belongs to children. It says, like children, people that are like this. These are the people that the kingdom of God belongs to. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Matthew 18:3 says, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Have you parents ever experienced this? Your parents of younger children, don't know if you've experienced this, but when you've been gone from the house for a while and you walk in the door, you haven't seen your kids in a while, and you walk in the door and the kids just come running around the corner or from down the stairs or out of the woodworks, wherever they're hiding. They just show up and then it's like bombard you. You know, and as they get older, and like they're actually like they'll hide from you, you know, like want you to come find them. But there's just a joy and an excitement to see you and receive you as you're coming into the home. The other day, yeah, it was actually yesterday, I was at the office and our two girls slept in. So I didn't see them before I left. And I hadn't seen them all day. And it was yesterday afternoon, Sarah stops by the office to drop something off. And she says, hey, I'm out in the parking lot. Can you come out and get it? So I walk out there and haven't seen Sophia and Amaya yet. I saw Newton earlier that day. But I walk out, and when they see me, their faces light up. They smile from ear to ear. And Amaya's strapped down in her car seat, and I'm walking up to the car, and the door opens, and she's, like, reaching like this, like, with her arms. You can't get out of her car seat, but she's wanting a hug and wanting to just touch me, right? She's like, come on. And so I crawl into the car, and I hug her in her car seat. And as I'm hugging her, Sophia's leaning in to get a hug and kiss from me as well. So then I hug her, and I kiss her. And then as I say goodbye, I'm getting out, they close the door, Newton's hanging out the window going, Huggies, 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 Dad, I want a hug. children longing to be loved and embraced. And there's usually a moment similar to this where our four-year-old Amaya happens almost daily at some point throughout the day. No matter what I'm doing, no matter how important of an adult I am, where I'm talking to or a conversation I'm having with Sarah about some important business stuff or whatever, she walks up and she just stands right in front of me with her arms up like this. She just stands. And I'm like, okay, pick her up, right? Arms reached out, open, ready to receive. Jesus says, unless you turn and become like children. I said earlier, there's great grace for us in Jesus' words here. So no matter what we've done, no matter how far we've fallen, no matter how much guilt, shame, or fear we're facing, we can turn back to Jesus with arms open. We can become like children. See, Jesus uses children to show us adults the way we are to approach and respond to Him and how to enter His kingdom. It's not our great strength. It's not all the important adult things that we do in life or that we can accomplish. It's not our smarts, our looks, our wisdom, our control, our power, our love, how efficient we are, how timely we are, how perfect we are, how loud or quiet we are, how much money we make or how much money we give away or how many things we have or build or can conquer in this life. None of those things get us into the kingdom of God. It's solely a simple, childlike act of faith to believe. It's our dependence and our need and our returning to Jesus with arms empty, open, and lifted up, ready to receive His grace. Will you return to Jesus with this posture? Will you come to Jesus with this posture today? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. For coming down to our level. Becoming like one of us. To show us a better way. To pave a better way. And to be the only way for us to know you. God, give us hearts of faith. Humble us that we would become like children and return to you and praise you unashamedly, unembarrassed, grateful for the good gift of grace that you give us in Christ.